Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Unlimited God, let's stand, church. Let's stand up. Are you ready to stir yourself up this morning? Are you ready to catch what the Holy Spirit is saying? Do you know the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us? But sometimes we hear the word, but we don't always catch it. And I want to really encourage you this morning that our part is to get positioned, get ready to catch the word of God. You know, when just like in the natural, if you get too close to someone that's got the cold or the flu and they breathe on you, you can catch it. Well, I want to say to you this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to breathe on you. But you're not going to catch a cold. Hopefully, you're going to catch something from the Spirit of God. And I want to ask you this morning, how close are you? We need to get closer to the Holy Spirit so He can breathe on us, so we can hear the Word of God. So you can sit down now, but stay ready. Stay ready. You know, when I come to church, I come to church because I need to catch faith. I need to stay in faith. That's why I come to church. I need to catch it. I need to hear the offering word. Yeah, do we have to have an offering word every week? Yeah, actually, I need to hear an offering word every week so that I can catch the spirit of generosity, so that I continue to be a generous person and give into the kingdom of God. And I just want to read a scripture over you this morning. I've got my brick of a Bible here. I'm old school, okay? No laptop when I preach. No printed notes. Sorry, it's pen and paper and highlighter. But we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 9. I want to speak this word over you, church. But beloved, I am confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though I speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and your labour which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And I desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I'm going to skip down. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. And then it goes on to speak about Jesus. But I just wanted to speak that word over you, that beloved, I'm confident of better things concerning you. Can you believe for better things this morning? I want, hear an amen. Someone here today needs to know, I feel really like tall or something. I should be down here. Someone here today needs to know that failure isn't final. When we are in Christ, when we are connected, our series is unlimited. Thank you. Thank you. That's better. I feel like I'm lording it over you up there. Failure is not final when we are in Christ Jesus. Our unlimited, omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty Saviour, God and King, the great I am, there is no failure in Him. God's got this, church. God's got you. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, whatever it is, whether it's good, He's got you. And whether it's not so good, He's got you. You've got this because He's got you. Don't allow what is around you, church. Don't allow what is around you to limit what God has put inside of you. And do you know what? You don't need to feel faith to have faith. You don't need to feel faith to have faith. Who told you that you need to feel it before you have it? That's a lie from the enemy. We don't actually need to feel faith in order to have it. And guess what? Because we're not always going to feel it. We're not always going to feel the feelings of faith. We're not always going to feel motivated, which is why, according to that scripture, we need to continue to have discipline and perseverance in the faith. That's why we need to have it. You know, have you ever committed, hopefully some of you can relate to this, this is me, have you ever committed to something and at the time you just had your triple shot, coffee, and you're feeling pumped and you're like, yes, I'm in, I'm gonna do that, awesome, bring it on. But then a few hours later or days later, when you've come down from that caffeine high, and even though you knew it was the right decision, and it was what was next in your ABC pathway to purpose, little plug there. It's now actually a struggle. And you think, oh my gosh, I don't feel like it anymore.
this is hard. I don't want to do this.
But in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, stir up the gift of God that is within you. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, stir up love and good works towards others. You know, Pastor Jason laughs at me because a couple of nights a week I have a later Pilates class that I've got to teach at 6:15. I don't like that time slot because somewhere between 4 and 6:15, I start to come down and I'm like, oh, and I sometimes he comes in and I'm in there and I'm running on the spot. I'm just trying to stir myself up to go in and teach the class. And it's always an awesome class, but I have to stir myself up because I hit that slump before I got to go in there again. And God calls us to be totally dependent on him. He knows our needs and our desires. He knows our struggle. And yet his desire is that we will continually keep looking up to him as our unlimited source. We are limited. He is unlimited. And as long as we are connecting to him, then we have that unlimited source available. I read in the paper this interesting, some of you may have heard it even on the radio, they were talking about it, this new statistic in regards to childbirth, right? And it says, you've got to link your pain with your purpose. When you're in childbirth, you've got to link your pain with your purpose. You know why you're going through it, because you're going to have a baby at the end of it. And I can relate to that. I remember the doctor saying, my gosh, I've never seen a woman so keen to get to the real, what I call the real bit, stage three. Because I knew that, let's get through all the other bits, because when you get to that bit, you're ready to give birth. And we've got to link our pain with our purpose in life. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes we're going through things and we don't even understand why, but we've got to understand that there is a purpose for us, a destiny. This is a funny thing. It's corny, but I'm going to say it's a dad joke. We're not all singers like Beyonce, but we are all Destiny's Child. I like that. We cannot have our confidence. We cannot have our confidence in certainty in what we can do and in what God can do simultaneously. It's not possible. We can't have our confidence in what we can do and in what God can do simultaneously. We have our confidence in the fact that he is with us and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And surrender isn't giving up your dream. Surrender isn't giving up your rights. But surrender is rather giving in and giving it over to Jesus, to the perfect plans, methods, and timing of a limitless God who has unlimited ideas, resources, unlimited power, unlimited grace every single second. We must remember that his method and his timing and his way of doing it isn't ours. And many of us have many testimonies and stories, don't we, Jules, about how his method and his timing and his, hang on a minute, that wasn't supposed to happen then, God, in my 5-year plan. But he will do it in his way and in his timing and in his method and in his unlimited power and his unlimited grace every single second of our lives. Now, make no mistake, our unlimited God will only be as limitless to us as we choose to believe him to be. Think about that for a moment. If you think that's heresy and you don't believe me, it's actually scriptural. It's found in Matthew 14, verses 57 and 58. It says, the people were offended at him, this Jesus. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honour except in his own country and in his own house. And he could not do many miracles there in his hometown because of their unbelief. So our God is sovereign, make no mistake. He is sovereign and he's almighty and he will do what he wants when he wants to. And he will sovereignly intervene wherever he wants to. Thank goodness that he does. And that's why we have miracles. That's when miracles happen, when God sovereignly intervenes. And that's wonderful. But I'm referring to our lack of belief and our lack of trust in his unlimited resources that can actually limit what God can do for us and in us and through us because of our unbelief. But life gets very exciting when we realize we are in partnership with his unlimited power and purpose. And let's remember this, church. God isn't looking for a microclimate of perfection in our lives. but rather perseverance and faith. You know, we have our own little microclimate. Each one of us have our own little microclimate that we live in. And sometimes we think that God expects it to be perfect and every I is dotted and every T is crossed and we need to be a certain way. But God isn't looking for that. He's just looking for someone, a church that will persevere and have faith in his unlimited power. I read a quote recently, "Today is a tomorrow you worried about yesterday." And it reminded me of that scripture that says, he who considers the clouds doesn't sow. But don't be that person. Don't be that person. We are not supposed to know how God will work in every situation and when he will do it. That's why it's called faith. That's why we need faith. We need to keep remembering that. But I'm just going to take a little bit of a different turn in my message right now. But what about in life, when, to quote a song, the closer you're to your destination, the more you feel you're sliding away? What happens when you feel like you're moving in the opposite direction to where you think you should be going and you don't understand why? Have you ever felt that way in your faith journey, that you feel like you're supposed to be going this way but you feel like something is stopping you from moving forward? Isaiah felt that way. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 6:5. This is Isaiah speaking. "Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. And he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity, your sin is taken away, and your sin purged.' And I heard the voice of the Lord say, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And Isaiah says, 'Here I am, send me.'" There's two funny things I find in this passage. First of all, Isaiah says, "I'm unclean," but then so was everyone else around me. I love how he says that. It's funny. He talks about everyone else in his midst being unclean as well. But what I love about this passage is that the fact that Isaiah knows how unclean and how unworthy he is to serve God, it makes him the perfect candidate. And I want to encourage you with that. We're all aware of our faults and how we all fall short of the glory of God. The scripture says we do. We know that. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need a saviour, because we know that we fall short. But it's that very reason that qualifies each and every one of us to serve him. And I love that the Lord says, "Who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "I'll go. I know that I'm with sin, but I'll still go and I'll still serve you." And let that scripture encourage you this morning, that the great prophet Isaiah felt that way. He felt undone. When I was in year 6 at school, I think it was about then, I thought it would be a good idea to learn the piano and to learn how to read music and have piano lessons. But what you need to understand is that I had an ear for music and I could already play every song in church by ear. I would listen to the song and I would work it out, the chords on the keyboard, and I could already play. But I thought, that would stump me when I came across a song that I couldn't quite always work out the chord. So I said to my parents, "You need to send me and have piano lessons because I need to learn how to read music." So I thought, okay, let's do this. So I mistakenly thought, how hard can it be? You know, I can read well. I can read a book well. So much to my dismay, my piano teacher was not really that impressed that I could play by ear. She didn't really care. She didn't think it was that wonderful. And even though I'd been told that I had perfect pitch, she didn't seem to think that that was very important either. And I'm not saying I do, I've just been told that. Doesn't mean that I have it. So anyway, I go in to have these piano lessons and she began to correct my technique. Now, you've got to understand, I could already play. And so she was trying to tell me that I needed to use my pinky finger for that note and, you know, the stretch of where you're supposed to correctly place your fingers on the keyboard. And needless to say, I did not like it. It was very uncomfortable and I couldn't play as well anymore. I played really well before I started to have lessons. Isn't it supposed to be the other way around? And I had to start to learn how to read. I knew Quinn would laugh at this. Notes on the stave, like what the heck?
what does that mean? And then at the same time as reading the notes, trying to use this correct fingering, and then she wouldn't let me cheat. So I'd work it out because I had a good ear. I'd work out how to play it, and then she would work out that I was cheating, that I was relying on my memory, that I wasn't really reading the notes. So it was quite hilarious. Then I would go home, and there was such a simple piece when you start. You've got to understand I could play complete songs, and I'm back to Mary Had a Little Lamb. And my parents would make me practice that Mary Had a Little Lamb for 1 hour. Oh, my gosh. Like, how many times can you play that song over and over? And so, yeah, it wasn't a great experience, let's just say. And so it felt awkward and backward. And I'm going to read this little quote, actually, from Joyce Meyer, just really quickly. Many people, this is a Joyce Meyer quote from her book, Making Good Habits. She said, many people are talented but don't bother to form good habits. They won't discipline themselves to do what they know they should be, what should be done, but instead wait to be moved by some outside force. This is called passivity, and it is a huge open door for the devil. If we are not actively doing what is right, it becomes very easy for the devil to get us to do wrong. God's word encourages us to be active, which shuts the door to laziness, procrastination, and passivity. That's in her book, Making Good Habits. I love that quote. But the funny thing for me was that I ended up breaking my left wrist, and so therefore ended the piano lessons. A true story. I broke my wrist, come off my push bike. But my point in telling you that story is that sometimes in order to progress and move forward, it feels like we are going backwards. Sometimes in order to move forward, we actually have to be stripped back of a few familiar, comfortable practices or ways or mindsets that previously served us but ultimately will not take us to where we need to go or to progress in this unlimited sphere that God has for us as his people and he would have us walk in. Regression, or what might seem like it, is necessary sometimes to progression. What if better, if being better at something meant not always going higher or faster, but deeper? When Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, he left his home in heaven and he came down to earth. That didn't look like better. That didn't look like improvement, did it? But it was for us. His disciples didn't expect him to be crucified and died. That didn't look great. That didn't look good. That didn't look like better, a better way. But it was, wasn't it? Because Christ died, we have salvation. And because he rose again, so too will we rise again. So sometimes regression can look like a lack of progression. But isn't this when, is this not, sorry, the philosophy of the kingdom of God, the upside down kingdom? The Bible says, let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I am rich. Could it just be that perhaps you're not really regressing in the way that you think you are, but rather God is stripping away the old coping mechanisms, the old thinking patterns, the old behaviour to teach us something new. He's stripping those things away. Some of the best things in life that have happened to me, and hopefully you can relate, are not the things that I asked for or that I prayed for or even that I believed for or wanted, but they're currently the things that I'm working out and that I'm working through. And surely I think that might be the same for you. The writer of Hebrews, which is our word of the week, the scripture that I started with, Hebrews 6 from verse 9, is writing that believing for better things passage to believers whose lives actually at that time seemed to be getting worse. They'd been following Jesus, they'd accepted him, which caused their Jewish counterparts to reject them. Then that Jesus that they were following is crucified and dies. And so therefore, they're thinking, what's going on? This group of Christians in Rome are being encouraged to stay strong and believe for better and to not go back to the old religious ways or the old ways of doing things. And Nero was also persecuting the Christians at that time. And they were wondering, was it worth it to continue? Was it really better to follow Jesus or to go back to the old system and then they wouldn't be persecuted anymore? And you know, for us today, we mightn't be being persecuted in that same way. But for us walking in the unfamiliar territory of grace and trying to live in God's unlimited power and resources and trying to persevere in our faith, when we are constantly being tempted to go back to the ways of the world, if you like, that way of thinking, to live by natural logic, because the ways of faith aren't the ways of natural logic, and people sometimes think we are crazy. The temptation to control when God is asking us for that surrender. You know, there's always a reason to go back to the old way. Never more so than when you get a new phone. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like getting a new phone. And I know that logically it's better. It's got a better technology, but not for me. I like the old phone. And so there's never a more tempting reason to go back to that old phone, because new things are frustrating. New things don't always come as easy as the old familiar way. The old familiar habits and strategies that used to work for us and used to serve us most of the time, as Pastor Barley would say. But the writer of Hebrews encourages those Christians, and I would encourage you as well. Don't go back to the old way. Jesus' way is always better. It's better in substance. It's better in covenant. We have a better covenant. Christ came to bring us a better covenant than the old way in the Old Testament. We have a better hope that anchors the soul. I know that the word anchor is a great analogy in many ways, because an anchor keeps you secure. But I like to think of hope in Christ more like a floaty. So who doesn't like a good floaty in a pool? It keeps you nice and buoyant. There can be lots of waves going on around, but you're nice and secure on your floaty and you're not going to sink. I like to think of hope in Christ like having a floaty. We won't sink, we'll stay buoyant. Don't go back. The blood of Christ is a better hope. The blood of Christ that cleanses and heals us is better than the old covenant, which was the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament. And you know, better is always subjective anyway, isn't it? What you think is better, I may not think is better. It all depends. Better is dependent on perspective and purpose. You know, we went to buy a new washing machine. My washing machine packed it in. Pastor Jason tried to tell me it's because I always overload it. It's not. It's been going for 25 years, that machine. It was ready to go. I'm like, are you serious? It's been going for 25 years and I do the washing and you're trying to tell me? I'm like, please. But when we were looking at washing machines, which one is better? Well, it's about the purpose. The guy asked me, do you like to wash your blankets as well as your sheets? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, this one will be better for you. Don't get that one because you won't fit blankets and you'll overload it. I said, I hear you. Is Samsung better than iPhone? Is KFC better than Red Rooster? Is Beyonce better than Tay-Tay? All these questions. Is Pilates better than CrossFit? Is having your apple cider vinegar shot and your tablespoon of MCT oil better than just having your coffee in the morning? I hope so, because it tastes disgusting, I can tell you. And someone told me the other day, it's going to take the enamel off my teeth. Nobody told me that about apple cider vinegar. You should brush your teeth after you have the apple cider vinegar shot, for anyone that does it, okay? Or otherwise it will take the enamel off your teeth. Little tip, little health tip there. But you know, the same as, I'll tell you what, another thing, I can talk about him because he's not here, this is awesome. Pastor Jason thinks better is a perspective. He thinks it would be better if I did or didn't do certain things. And I think it would be better if he didn't tell me that. So there you go. The point is, we don't want to miss out on the better thing because it doesn't look better, because you don't know that maybe that isn't going to lead to something better for you. Just like my piano teacher tried to correct my fingering, it didn't feel better, it didn't look better, it looked ridiculous, and it felt awkward. But it was actually causing me to improve. But it was just a different method to what I was used to. Church, God's ways are always better. His methods are always better, but they may feel backwards. When God is doing something new in us, He's teaching us a new way to walk in it. He's teaching us to be gracious. He's teaching us to find new ways of joy and fulfillment. We used to find it in that those things. And he says, I don't want you to find your joy and fulfillment in those things anymore. Ouch, that hurts a bit. There's some things I know that God puts his finger on in my life that I like to, and he says, I don't want you to find your joy and fulfillment in that anymore, Trina. Outside of our own little microclimate that I talked about. He's teaching us not to be passive. He's teaching us to keep growing and don't think that we know everything. He's teaching us to be real Christians who are authentic and approachable and loving and more than conquerors. I tell you what, church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's teaching us, isn't he? But I tell you what, we can't be more than conquerors if there's nothing for us to conquer. And nor is there any glory given to God in that. If we're just nailing it all the time, although it sounds nice, there is nothing. We cannot be, according to that scripture, more than conquerors if we don't conquer anything. Come on, we've got to conquer something. And we want our lives to give glory to God in that. So let's get a bit more comfortable in our lives that sometimes loss is the way to gain. Quote of the day. Here's your quote of the day. Sometimes the most painful moments are the most purposeful moments. And we're not to compare ourselves with others. You know, sometimes we look at the person beside us. None of you do this. I know, it's only me. And we think that they're better than us, at even being a Christian. We compare ourselves, and I can't quote half the Bible, and, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, maybe they've just got a better memory than you. Doesn't mean they're a better Christian than you. And in terms of better, like I said, it's relative to purpose. Deb is far better at me than me in reaching in what she does with the youth. She's amazing. But I'm not supposed to do that in this season, and I might be better, which whatever is better, you know what I mean? It's just in quotation, at something else, because that is what God has gifted me to do. Better is related to your purpose. The person beside you isn't better than you, and you're not better than them. Equally together, we are all serving God in our purpose. And in that purpose, that individual purpose, we are getting better as we regress, as we allow God to change us, and then we move forward. Hope that makes sense. I've got a couple of prophetic words as I finish this morning. Margie, I just wanted to say to you that, talking about conquering, the enemy has tried to break you, but alas, his schemes will not prevail. Because God is making you, and in fact, he's already made you, strong. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and no tongue raised against you shall prevail, Marg. And Alyssa, God has brought you this far by his grace. His grace. And he's not going to let you fall now, girl. No way. And trust the process. I felt the Holy Spirit say, trust the process that you're currently going through. Okay? It feels backwards. It feels backwards. You're going like, God, I've gone forwards in you and everything's woo, but it feels backwards. But be rest assured, in no way will you go back. No way will you regress. Stand and see the salvation of your God. He sings over you. He smiles over you. This too will be another part of your testimony, and God will get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just invite the band to come up. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.